Doctor Who, Here Come the Clowns, by James D. Quinton, read by Mark Brzee.
If you were to think of a quiet suburban London street, then you may well be imagining Walcott Rise. With its Victorian houses, clean windows, well-kept gardens, blossoming trees, and litter-free pavement, the area is understandably one of the most sought-after districts to live in. It is a bright, sunny day, with a few cotton-like clouds floating across the blue sky. In one of the properties on Walcott Street, a lucky young lady named Sarah is having a party to celebrate her 8th birthday. The gathering is in full swing. Friends, presents, laughter, balloons, jellies, and games. But Sarah's mother, Kate, still has one more surprise left for her daughter. The brass doorbell rattled in its housing. Kate gave a knowing smile to her friends as they watched the children playing. Kate walked along the corridor. Through the bubbled glass front door, she could see a familiar-shaped figure. She smiled knowingly to herself and opened the door.
"Hello, you must be Coco," she beamed.
Of course it was Coco. How many 6-foot clowns was she expecting? The clown looked wonderful, she thought. His hair was orange, sticking out in all directions. He wore an all-in-one suit that was decorated with colored spots. His shoes were oversized and purple, and his makeup was perfect. An all-white face with a traditional red-painted smile, pencil eyebrows, and red-painted nose. It looked almost real, like the makeup was part of his actual features. He was holding a black bag that seemed to be overflowing with colorful objects.
"Yes,"
replied Coco through clenched teeth.
"Well, come in, won't you?"
said Kate, standing aside for the visitor.
"Oh, you're a little late,"
she added, checking her watch.
"Yes,"
Coco again replied in the same terse manner, whilst giving a maniacal smile.
"Right, well, this way. They're not expecting you. It will be a bit of a surprise."
"Yes, surprises are nice.
Kids, Sarah, another little surprise for you."
"Hello, children,"
Coco enthused as he entered the room, his mock childlike voice echoing in his larynx.
"Oh, a clown,"
one of the children gushed. The mother's presence smiled at Kate.
"Right, we'll leave you to it,"
Kate told Coco, who then turned to one of the other mothers and whispered,
"I need a drink. We'll be in the kitchen, okay?"
Coco seemed to ignore Kate and was positioning himself at the front of the room, opening his bag, but then looked up and replied,
"Yes, we'll be fine."
"Have a good time, kids," said Kate.
"We will,"
the kids said in chorus.
"Yes, they will,"
Coco readily agreed through gritted teeth.
"They'll probably die laughing."
"I think I must have space sickness or something," Alice told the doctor whilst trying not to regurgitate her cooked breakfast. "Either that or it's Chen's cooking."
"Oi, I heard that,"
replied Chen from inside the TARDIS Gallius kitchen.
"Quite tasty, I thought,"
replied the doctor as he and Alice made their way back to the council room.
"Nothing like a hearty vegetarian breakfast and hot sweet tea to start the day. Maybe you ate too much."
"Well, that sounds more like it,"
agreed Chand as he caught up with them in the corridor.
"How many extra pieces of toast did you have?"
"Two,
three."
"Okay, maybe I have eaten too much."
"So my cooking ain't that bad?"
"Toast is hardly cooking,"
Alice replied.
"And neither is heating a frying pan, adding oil, and chucking everything into it until it goes crispy."
"Tasted good to me,"
said the doctor, pushing open the door to the TARDIS console room.
"Although, Anything and everything tastes good with half a bottle of HP sauce on it.
Well, tonight, or the next time we get the chance to have a cooked meal, I'll make you guys a lovely lasagna,
cooed Alice, already contemplating the praise she'd get for it.
Great,
said Chand, taking the same tone of voice as hers.
I will very much look forward to that.
They both made smug faces at each other before Alice noticed the doctor staring quizzically at some flashing lights at the console.
Doctor, what's wrong?
Asked Alice.
Nothing, I don't think.
What are all those lights doing?
Alice asked.
Well, they're flashing, aren't they?
Added Chand.
I can see that,
said Alice as she tried to clip Chand round the head.
Oh, the TARDIS has picked up some unusual energy fluctuations.
Well, where from?
Inquired Chand.
Not sure so much interference coming through the vortex. I guess we'll have to follow them and see where we end up.
Our first adventure of the day,
beamed Alice, who at the same time managed to catch Chand off guard and give him a friendly cuff on the back of the head. DCI Carter sat back in his chair and surveyed his desk. Gone were the mountains of paperwork, case files, reports, and the pictures of his wife, children, and grandchildren. Only a mug of coffee now sat on his desk, his third of the morning, which he needed after his leaving party the night before. It was compulsory to retire at 60, and although he had eagerly awaited his final day on the job, he still felt he was too young to retire. He watched his soon-to-be ex-colleagues dealing with ongoing cases. It felt like the last day of school when you turn up in your normal clothes and sit around and play games. The tall figure of Sergeant Connor loomed over Carter's desk.
Hello, Mike, said the sergeant.
Peter, come to say goodbye?
Goodbye? No, I'll see you down the Albion on Tuesday, won't I?
Of course, Carter readily agreed. So, what can I do for you?
A bit of a strange one. I've got two uniforms at the scene. It's a bit difficult to explain. Could you go down there?
The engines of the TARDIS groaned as the ship dematerialized. The TARDIS's door swung open, and the doctor stepped out.
Yep, we're home. Well, you're home, shouted the doctor to Alice and Chand in the TARDIS.
Whereabouts are we?
London, 1972,
the doctor replied, straightening his coat.
Are you two coming?
Well, yes. Just helping Chand with his makeup.
You too,
the doctor mumbled to himself sarcastically. Chand and Alice walked out of the TARDIS, and the doctor closed the door behind them.
Nice island, Chand,
said the doctor.
What?
Replied Chand. The doctor smiled at Alice.
Very funny,
snorted Chand, and he put on his sunglasses.
So where's the fire?
He added.
If you're referring to the energy fluctuations, then according to the data I transferred to the sonic screwdriver, we should be right on top of it.
Looks like a normal street to me, Alice commented.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
Admitted the doctor, giving the sonic screwdriver a tap.
Doctor?
Uttered Chand.
Yes,
slurred the doctor, who was shaking the sonic screwdriver over his ear in an attempt to figure out what was wrong with it.
Look, cops,
Chand added, pointing down the road.
Where?
There,
replied Alice, also pointing. The threesome looked down the road and in front of a house that already had a number of vehicles parked outside it, a police car sat parked. And as they watched, another car pulled up, and a slightly tubby man jumped out and rushed towards the open front door.
That's where the fire is channed, enthused the doctor. Come on.
As they approached the house, the front window burst out, sending glass flying into the garden.
What on earth is that?
Shrieked Alice.
It's a clown,
replied a bemused Chand. From out of the house ran two policemen, followed by an older, portly gentleman.
Come on,
shouted the doctor, who began sprinting down the road, followed by Chand and Alice.
This isn't helping my breakfast go down,
commented Alice as they reached the house.
What's going on?
Asked the doctor.
Who are you?
Replied the older man as the two police officers ran down the road.
I'm the doctor.
A doctor?
Well, that was quick. You're needed inside.
What about?
Added the doctor, pointing to the clown.
He won't get far. My boys will catch him.
Who are these two?
Chand and Alice. Medical students. Very keen to learn.
Hello. Right this way.
Inside the house, the doctor, Chand, and Alice were greeted by the sight of a group of children sitting cross-legged on the floor, crying, whilst five women, who were presumably their mothers, attempted to comfort them.
What happened?
Asked the doctor as he looked down at the children. Sarah's mother looked up.
It was the clown, she sobbed. It hurt them.
Alice knelt beside Kate.
It's okay. The doctor will help. Tell him what happened.
We were in the kitchen,
she began, wiping her eyes.
Having a drink. I thought he was a little strange, but the kids were in fits of laughter. Then they sort of stopped, like it sounded like they couldn't breathe. I came in and he... clown was glowing like the sun and
Kate trailed off and she began to weep harder.
It's okay,
said Alice, trying to comfort her.
Take your time. The clown was taking,
absorbing their laughter,
feeding on it,
the doctor stated, interrupting Kate.
Sorry?
Questioned Carter.
You're dealing with a creature not of this planet, officer,
he told Carter.
DCI Carter. And you're talking rubbish. I'm dealing with a loony in a clown costume,
he replied. The doctor held up his sonic screwdriver, and the device buzzed.
See? Ishlan energy. Rather unusual.
What's Ishlan energy?
Ishlan are a species, Chand. They're rather far from home. They feed off positive emotion. In this case, the innocent laughter of those children turns that heartfelt joy into something digestible.
What are you saying?
Cried Kate.
I'm afraid if I can't find this clown, these children will never laugh, or indeed be happy again. Their ability is, gone.
Are you actually a doctor?
Carter questioned, squaring up with the doctor.
No, I'm the doctor.
Just then, the two police officers returned to the scene, out of breath.
Sir, he escaped. Just vanished.
What?
Shouted Carter.
He was only a few yards in front of you.
I know. We went around the corner and he was gone,
replied the officer.
Right. I'll need more men on this. Officer, escort this gentleman and these two out.
You don't accept my explanation, then?
Queried the doctor, who knelt down beside one of the children and scanned her with a sonic screwdriver. And her mother looked on, confused.
Of course not,
Carter blasted. The doctor stood up and held Kate's hand.
Don't worry,
he said.
I'll sort this out. Sir, this way.
Outside, the doctor once again waved his sonic screwdriver around.
Those poor children,
said Alice, looking back at the house.
But who'd find a clown funny?
Asked Chand haughtily.
Chand!
Exclaimed Alice.
Obviously children, Chandrish. Non-cynical 20-somethings.
Sorry, replied Chand. So who are these Eachlands, then? He asked.
Funny lot. Don't know much about them, actually.
The children found them funny.
I don't mean that kind of funny, Chand. I meant funny as in odd.
Care to elaborate?
Asked Alice.
Well, strange way to live for a start, dining on positive emotions. Plus the fact that they're millions of miles away from home,
said the doctor, as more police cars arrived on the scene.
It's all kicking off now, he added.
The sonic screwdriver bleeped.
Ah, here we go.
Can't escape me. Picked up the scent? Asked Chand.
Yep,
began the doctor, who was interrupted by the voice of DCI Carter.
Doctor!
Oh, hello again, the doctor beamed.
I'm prepared to go along with your, theory. For the time being, at least.
Oh, why is it change of mind? The doctor asked.
Carter sighed. It's been happening all over the city.
What?
Said Alice, shocked. Kids' parties. Clowns booked. Clowns sucking the laughter out of them, said the doctor, finishing Carter's sentence.
It's worse than I thought,
he added. Do you know how to stop them? Asked Carter.
I'm really not sure. I haven't had the pleasure before.
At least we can find them, said Alice.
You can?
Yes,
answered the doctor. The doctor looked at the sonic screwdriver, which was continuing to bleep.
Not far away.
Right, I'll get back up.
Back up? Questioned the doctor.
Of course.
Not a good idea.
But, doctor, look, we're not turning up sirens blazing, the doctor assured him. As the phrase goes, it's my way or the highway.
Okay, doctor.
But the moment things start to get out of hand,
Carter told him.
Things never get out of hand for the doctor. Do they, doctor?
Chand replied, smiling.
Right, began the doctor, ignoring Chand's comment. I suggest we take your car.
Fine,
replied Carter. The doctor, Alice, Chand, and Carter got into Carter's car, and with the doctor giving directions, they followed the Eachland Trail.
The feed is almost complete,
hissed an Eachland, who was scrutinizing a large monitor.
Will the unfamiliar one be ready to take us back home?
Muttered another Eachland.
That is what I have been told. And what of this doctor?
Asked the second Eachland.
It is no concern to us. We are just the bait.
We're nearly there, said the doctor, as the car drove towards a boarded-up funfair.
How appropriate,
commented Alice when she saw the location in front of her.
Yes, said the doctor. That it is.
This place has been derelict for years. The council want to build new homes on it,
mentioned Carter.
More luxury flats?
Questioned Chand.
Doctor!
Screamed Alice. The doctor, Chandrish, and Carter looked at what Alice was pointing at. At the back of the site, they could see three figures, clowns, walking towards a helter-skelter that, unlike the rest of the derelict rides and stalls in the funfair, looked new. Too new. The clowns were glowing. A series of golden circles moved around their bodies.
I don't believe it, cried Carter.
No sooner had he seen the clowns, the doctor was out of the car and heading for the chained-up entrance.
Wait for us, doctor,
said Chand. As they reached the gate, more clowns appeared out of thin air.
Teleports,
said the doctor.
Their feed must be over.
Is that their ship?
Asked Alice, pointing at the helter-skelter.
Yes, clearly a cloaking device.
That's funny, added the doctor. The sonic screwdriver is picking up augmented Time Lord technology.
What's Time Lord technology?
Technology that shouldn't exist, the doctor replied sternly. The doctor opened the rusted padlock that held the gate shut. The gate squeaked as it opened, and they stepped through. As they moved towards the helter-skelter, the clowns, now six in total, noticed the intruders. They hissed, their smile painted faces glowing menacingly at them.
There's nothing funny about them, whispered a frightened Alice.
How are we going to stop them? Chand asked the doctor.
Arbitration. You're going to negotiate?
Carter questioned.
Yes, why not?
The doctor stepped forward and began to walk towards the Eastland ship, and just as he did, a blast shook the ground near his feet.
Doctor!
Shouted Alice.
I'm okay.
Another blast fell just short of the doctor, who quickly hid himself behind an upturned stall.
Lasers!
He shouted to the others.
They've tight security around here.
Where did they come from?
Yelled Alice. She and Chand surveyed the direction that the blue blasts of energy had emanated from.
They can't see anyone. They must be on the top floor of that warehouse,
Chand replied.
I'll sort them out,
said Carter, pulling a revolver out of the holster inside his jacket coat.
Oh, my,
questioned Alice.
Well, it is the 70s,
muttered Chand.
Doctor,
cried Carter.
I'll cover you.
The doctor stared at Carter and the gun. For a moment, he looked distastefully at the weapon, annoyed that it was really the only way.
Okay,
he reluctantly agreed.
But try not to kill anything or anyone.
Carter began firing in the general direction of the warehouse as Chand and Alice covered their ears. The doctor watched the clowns enter the helter-skelter. Time was running out. With Carter blazing away, like it was the first time he'd gotten to use his gun, the doctor threw himself behind the helter-skelter. His body felt the heat of the ship. He could hear the engines being powered up. They were getting ready to leave.
He's made it!
Alice cheered.
But can he stop them getting away?
Questioned Chand.
I'm out of bullets,
said Carter, who was frantically searching his pockets, but to no avail as another blast came from the warehouse.
Well, whoever that is isn't,
said Alice.
Doctor, be careful!
She shouted. The doctor looked over to Chand and Alice and smiled, and then made a dash towards the entrance of the Eastland ship. And as he did, the blue laser bolts narrowly missed him, and he dived into the ship.
You're not dead,
hissed one of the clowns who was by the doorway.
Doesn't look like it,
the doctor proudly confirmed, getting to his feet.
Now, this ends.
As he stood confronting the first clown, another Eastland appeared behind him.
You look like the man in charge, the doctor commented.
You're too late, doctor.
Oh, you know my name?
Yes. We were told you'd be dead.
Really?
Said the doctor nonchalantly.
Who made such a wild claim?
He asked as a laser bolt hit the ship.
This isn't supposed to happen.
What isn't?
Our ship is being attacked,
it cried.
Looks like it,
commented the doctor as the blasts rained down on the ship.
I thought that was your handiwork.
You know so little for a Time Lord,
the Eastland hissed.
You're very well informed, but we won't have time to chat. Your ship will be destroyed. I can help you, but first you must return the laughter to the children.
Never!
The Eastland turned his attention to one of his minions.
We're leaving. Launch the ship.
Wait, said the doctor. Whoever it is out there won't let you leave, if they are, as I presume, after me. Return the laughter, and I'll leave, and you can escape.
As blasts continue to hit the ship, the Eastland stood, staring at the doctor. It seemed to be considering the doctor's ultimatum.
Very well, doctor. We're only after a feed. We're not a barbaric race.
That I do know.
The Eastland turned to his fellow Eastlands and nodded. And with that, the Eastland opened their mouths, and from them came bright yellow gas that dissipated into the air.
Look at that!
Cried Alice. That's what I saw at the house, said Carter. Arbitration, Chand reiterated, smiling at himself. Never mind that now. What about the nutto with the laser gun thing?
There, Doctor. Now leave so we can,
the Ishland asked.
Certainly. But my little handheld device,
began the Doctor, gesturing with his sonic screwdriver,
detected augmented Time Lord technology.
How do you think we traveled the millions of miles to get to this planet?
Well, that's what I was thinking. Your race has never left its own galaxy.
We were helped, of course.
By who?
The Doctor asked with a look of deep concern.
You have...
Before the Ishlan could finish its sentence, a blast shook the ship, sending a massive ball of fire shooting through the ground level of the ship.
Never mind. You must transport me to my TARDIS, and I'll then materialize around your ship and take you home.
But
it's the only way.
Very well.
The Doctor followed the Ishlan, who took him to a teleport pad where the Doctor punched in what he hoped were the correct coordinates for the TARDIS.
See you in a minute,
the Doctor promised. The Doctor then disappeared.
There must be something we can do, said Alice.
Well, if I had a few rounds left, I'd like to have a go at that trigger-happy...
Carter trailed off as his eyes widened and he saw the sight of a police box. Smaller than the helter-skelter, appeared not in front or behind of it, but on top of it.
The Doctor!
Applauded Alice.
What's he doing?
Chand asked. The TARDIS engine strained and hummed as it enveloped the helter-skelter. Then it appeared fully sitting down where the helter-skelter was before. The engine started to heave and groan, and the blue box, as Carter saw, disappeared completely, leaving a bare patch of ground in its place.
I don't believe it, mumbled Carter.
Inside the TARDIS, the Doctor pressed a button on the console.
Ishlans, you are in one of the TARDIS's larger rooms. Sit tight. You'll be home before you know it.
Thank you for flying TARDIS Air.
My officers searched the warehouse,
Carter reported to Alice and Chand.
I'm afraid they didn't find anything.
Oh, right. It must have been one of the Ishlans. Why did the Doctor help them and leave us stranded in 1972?
Alice questioned.
Stranded?
Carter asked. Alice nodded to herself, and Chand offered Carter a smile as he dug his hands into his pockets.
Well, I must go and make a report.
What a way to spend my last day on the Force.
Your last day?
Said Chand.
Yes, said Carter.
Congratulations, offered Chand. Thanks. Now, are you sure I can't give you a lift to anywhere? Parents?
No,
said Alice.
I don't think they've even met yet.
Sorry?
Asked Carter.
Never mind.
Okay, well, good luck and thank the Doctor for me,
beamed Carter.
We will,
said Chand. If we ever see him again, he added under his breath. Alice and Chand watched Carter and his officers drive away.
Well, any ideas?
Chand asked Alice.
Nope. Wait, I suppose, she huffed.
It's starting to get dark,
pointed out Chand.
Yeah,
slurred Alice, biting her fingernails. Just as a few spots of rain began to fall, the pair heard the familiar and welcome sound of the TARDIS. Chand and Alice smiled at each other, but instead of the familiar police box materializing, in front of them appeared a red phone box.
That red phone box,
uttered Alice as the ship landed.
We keep seeing a red phone box, Chand, remember?
Yeah, in Iran.
And the disappearing phone box back home in the paper, and the one I saw in Blytheburg. Basically everywhere we've been.
And remember the one we couldn't get into just before we met the Doctor?
Alice nodded. The phone box opened, and out stepped a masked figure.
"Don't move,"
said the masked figure that had an electronic voice, and it raised its gun at them.
"The shooter,"
said Alice to Chand.
"Who are you?"
asked Chand, stepping forward. There was silence.
"Who are you?"
Chand asked again. The masked figure fired its gun, and the blue laser blast hit Chand square in the chest. A look of shock swept across Chand's face. He touched a wound, then fell to his knees before dropping, lifeless, to the ground.
"Chand!"
cried Alice, who had now been grabbed by the assailant. Alice tried to break free of her captor's clutches as Chand lay dying, but to no avail, and she was dragged, kicking, screaming, yelling, and fighting into the phone box. The rain began to lash down, and after a few seconds, the TARDIS disguised as a phone box dematerialized just as the doctor returned in his. Emerging from the police box, the first thing the doctor saw was Chand lying still on the muddy ground.
"Chand!"
he called, rushing to his companion's side. "Chand, can you hear me?" he desperately asked, noticing the deep wound in Chand's chest.
"Chand?"
Chand slowly opened his eyes.
"Doctor,"
he breathed.
"What happened, Chand?"
A TARDIS looked like a phone box. You've seen it before."
"Yes, I know all about it from the Eastlands. Where's Alice, Chand?"
Chand's eyes closed.
"Chand!"
repeated the doctor.
"Gone,"
sighed Chand, once again opening his eyes. The doctor brushed the rain off Chand's face.
"I'm so sorry, Chand."
"Doctor,"
whispered Chand.
"Yes." "Fine. I will,"
assured the doctor, as Chand closed his eyes for the very last time.
"I promise.